Hello, welcome to heaven. What is your name, please?
Hello, St. Peter. I'm Dan Rooney.
Ah, yes, Mr. Rooney. We've been expecting you. I'm sorry, but it appears we're a bit behind on construction of your heavenly estate, so I'm afraid you're going to have to room temporarily with one of our dormitory residents.
Oh, I don't want to be too much of a bother.
Nonsense. Now, if you'll just follow me, please.
Okay. Well, I guess I should say thank you for all the good years you've blessed my family with.
Well, don't thank me. It's the big guy who likes to bet on the stealing. Frankly, I've never understood why you people have never considered it a miracle that that country pumpkin Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls.
Well, it was a mystery to us, too.
Oh, here we are. Mr. Davis! Mr. Davis!
What do you want? Has my transfer come through? Because let me tell you something.
No, I'm afraid not. We have a bit of a situation, and I'm afraid you're going to have a roommate for a couple of days.
A roommate? Who?
I think you know one another.
Well,
oh, God.
Hello, Al. What a surprise.
Oh, no, you gotta be kidding me. You can't put him in here. I'll kill him.
Well, settle down. Whoa. Nobody's going to kill him.
You listen to me, Rooney, you son of a bitch. Frenchie Fuqua touched that goddamn ball, and you well know it.
Oh, come on now, Al. We're in heaven. None of that matters anymore.
Oh, yeah? Well, fuck you, Rooney!
Whoa!
Take that!
Security!
You stupid son of a bitch!
Security! Get your hands away! Hey, that's my sandal!
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, I only can, you know, control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Football's become soft. Football's become soft like our country has become soft.
Dad, I don't know what the hell a catch is anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He's going to stick his knuckle in your asshole.
You like that?
That's gay.
Representing.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
My God, we are ready for the football.
Take that, mother.
And now, here's John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Everything I am is an illusion. Everything I am.
It's a great organization, Tom. It's a great organization. We want to thank the city of Philadelphia for organizing this organized booing, this organization.
I think, you know, I used to do him like Robert Stack. That was, I always make my caricatures about shit that I used to watch on television. And I used to watch Robert Stack, you know, on The Untouchables all the time.
But it doesn't really fit for him because he doesn't talk like that. He kind of talks like a mealy-mouthed little prick like this and say, it's a great day for your organization. Yeah. You know how hard these are to get.
Meanwhile, I'm thinking Bob Kraft is up there going, no, they're not really hard to get at all. We seem to get one every other year or so.
Yeah, he's kind of like Bill Murray in Caddyshack. You know, when he's pretending to be at the Masters, that's how he talks. You know?
Yeah.
He's got about a 9-iron, and he's got about 180 yards here. Yeah.
Yeah. He is the most hated man in America. Look, I don't care what kind of side of this political spectrum you fall on. Some people think Obama's the most hated man. Oh, Trump is the most hated man. No. Everybody agrees on Roger Goodell.
Absolutely.
Everybody turns around and goes, boo, people with their freaking O hats and people with their MAGA hats. Boo on Roger Goodell.
All right, I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 298, our May show post-draft, and we'll get to that coming up. Maximus Harbaugh on the way, Daddy Josh, Philly hospitality, and what murder, John? Well, there was no murder.
Not that I know of.
But first, I got to ask you, because when I talked to you yesterday, you were about to watch Rogue One, which is the only one I haven't seen yet, and from the Star Wars
You've seen it.
Franchise.
You just haven't seen it with the new title, that's all. But it's the same damn movie every time.
Okay, so this would bridge the gap between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, 3 and 4, which 4, of course, is the original Star Wars, and then Revenge of the Sith was the third of the three prequels. So at the end of Revenge of the Sith, we see Anakin Skywalker, you know, he's all burnt laying there on the whatever the hell, brimstone or whatever he's laying on there and all that.
He's right beside an active volcano. You know what else we see? We see John looking at his watch. Oh, thank God. Jesus, this movie was terrible.
I actually liked Revenge of the Sith. The first two, what was the Phantom Menace and the Clone Wars? Was that the second one?
I guess. I don't know. Those three movies are horrible.
I thought they were both terrible, but I did like Revenge of the Sith because it brought me back more to Star Wars, because there was the Emperor, here was Anakin became, we saw right at the end, he gets the mask on, he becomes Darth Vader. And then, you know, and then you go to Star Wars, and now we're all of a sudden, there's a Death Star and Princess Leia, and she's got the Death Star plans, and you're going, okay, what happened? Yes, so now doesn't that bridge that gap? That's what that is, right?
Well, let's be clear. I never actually went, what happened? Because I didn't care. I'm used to being able to suspend disbelief and say, okay, this is what's going on right now. It's the dudes with the tape on their glasses sitting in their basement.
So what happened?
Hold on. Don't give me any spoilers. I'm just asking, is that bridge the gap?
Yeah, that's what that does. This movie's about the Death Star.
All right. And you didn't like this one either?
No, I liked it. Oh, I did like it. I liked this one. I liked the last one that came out a couple of years ago. And I like the, as far as I'm concerned, fuck your numerology there, nerds. The first one and the second one, Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back, those are great movies.
Oh, you didn't like Return of the Jedi?
No, Return of the Jedi, I didn't like that at all, because Ewoks are in it and give a shit about a bunch of goddamn teddy bears with guns. Fuck all.
Star Wars, a little bit on the brain, because a few days ago was May the 4th, Star Wars Day.
Right.
God, it was right. You know, you can't escape it. It's just there. But you and I were the original fans. I mean, I saw Star Wars in the movie theater with my mom.
So did I. Well, I didn't see him with your mom. I saw him with my dad. Okay.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that, John.
If we weren't such good friends, I could have made a really awful joke.
All right. So that's all nice and fun. What's not is the NFL. Lost a longtime member of its family in Pittsburgh Steelers owner Dan Rooney.
Yeah, that's a big loss. It really is. I mean, the Rooney family's been in the NFL forever and ever and ever, and they're not nearly as disgusting as the Mara family, who have also been in there forever and ever.
Is there anybody left? Is there a Rooney left in the organization?
I don't think so. Mickey Rooney's... No, he died.
What? Mickey Rooney.
I don't know. Maybe there's like Junior Rooney. Junie Rooney.
I don't know.
I don't think there's any Rooney's left.
You know, like Jerry Jones got his son Stephen Jones in there running things now, so.
Right. Well, see, he's smart, because you see what happens when you keep things in the family for too long and you got some old woman like up in Chicago calling the shots that says,
sure, go ahead and trade the whole mess to move up one spot and take somebody they don't even want.
Good job, Mrs. McCaskey.
Who that? What? Why would somebody knock on my door while I'm recording? Oh.
Hi, I just happened to be passing by. I was on my way to a dental appointment, and through the window I heard Yoon's guys talking about Dan Rooney and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I thought, hey, I know Dan Rooney, and I know the Pittsburgh Steelers because I am Ben Roethlisberger, their starting quarterback, so I perhaps should go in and see what they are talking about. So, I came in.
Well, this is a nice surprise there, Ben. Well, yeah, we were just talking about the owner had passed away and wondering if there were any Rooneys left in the organization.
Well, there is one Rooney left in the organization that I know of, but he just pushes the broom because he was kind of dropped on his head when he was a baby. They don't really talk about him, and I don't think he's in the will, so I better not say any more about that because some lawyers might be out listening that would be very shady and try to get into the Rooney money, and I wouldn't want to do that. However, I do have some questions while I am at it, because now that Mr. Rooney is dead... I don't know who's going to sign my paycheck, so I'm hoping that I hope that everything's going to be all right there, because I am scheduled to make a lot of money this year.
I'm sure the general manager will be there to sign your paychecks, Ben.
I hope so, because you know, Mr. Rooney was the guy that did it before. At least somebody gave him a rubber stamp, and I don't know if I would be able to convince anyone at the bank with a rubber stamp after everybody knows he is dead.
Right.
I didn't believe it, you know. I didn't believe it. They told me Mr. Rooney has died, and I said, Mr. Rooney could not have died. Oh, I had talked to him just yesterday. So I went to the funeral parlor and I poked him and I said, Mr. Rooney, you need to wake up. And he did not.
Well, oh, geez. You know, you seem like, were you close to him? I mean,
well, yes, we were very tight, very close. As a matter of fact, just 2 years ago, we did a wife swap party. I'm not sure I should say that on the radio station, but no. Mr. Rooney was a firebrand.
Oh my God!
Yeah, he got the better end of the deal. I think his wife is something like 79 years old.
Exactly what I was thinking about. You know,
so you're disgusting. Why would you think about that?
No shit, Tom. What the hell's the matter with you? Think about Ben Roethlisberger banging a 79-year-old woman. Jeez.
All right, Ben. So, you know, was it because of Rooney? I mean, it seems like all the Steelers players all love playing for that organization. Was it because of him? And now that he's gone, do you think that's going to change the culture in Pittsburgh?
I would hope not. I think most of the players did love playing for Mr. Rooney because of the wife swap parties. His wife is a bit of a firecracker, let me tell you.
All right.
So, you know, she really liked Antonio Brown. She liked him a lot. That's how he gets away with things like putting everything in the locker room out on Facebook.
All right. Well, listen, Ben, I'm really glad you dropped by. We're going to move on with the show. I tell you what, you're welcome to stay. And if you decide you would like to comment on anything John and I are discussing, you just feel free to jump right in, okay?
Oh, okay. It beats going to the dentist.
Yes, it certainly does. All right. Well, let's talk about a team that's in Ben's division, the Cleveland Browns.
Really? Does Ben even consider them in the division?
I don't know.
Not really. We let them come and hang out, but, you know, nobody talks to them.
You know, the draft happened the third weekend in April, and just the other day, Roger Goodell had this to say.
The Cleveland Browns are on the clock.
All right. So.
What a terrible organization. What a horrible organization. They're probably going to draft another quarterback. This is going to be hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, this is about actually a guy who's not even really playing for them right now, and that is Josh Gordon, the wide receiver, who's been suspended for about 3.5 decades due to smoking weed.
Shit. Josh Gordon. Yeah, remember him? He was back when Brian Sipe was with the team, wasn't he?
Right, exactly.
Stay off the weed.
Right. Well, he...
I completely agree. Opioids, that's the way to go.
Okay, Ben.
Take care of your pain.
Now, he's hoping to get reinstated here any day now. I didn't even know he was ever allowed back in the league. But he's still not...
What do you mean? They'll let him back in. It's not like he's done anything really bad, like, you know, celebrating the end zone or anything like that.
Right. Well, I guess he's not... The Browns have no plans to use him, even if he is reinstated, is what I'm hearing. What?
They have no plans on using him anyway. They put him out there and say, whatever. We don't know what the hell to do with
you. They'll likely try to trade him or just flat out release him. They do have his rights for 2 more years. I would think you would bring him into camp just to see if he's got, you know, whether he's lost his step or if he can help your team. I mean, they're not into good players, though, over there.
No.
They let them go.
You know, how do you introduce the new quarterback when you're in Cleveland? This guy here, this is the guy for this year. He's not going to be here next year.
Hey, Ben, maybe when you retire from the Steelers, or they don't want you anymore, you can still go play in Cleveland.
I would rather swallow a bunch of razor blades. I'm telling you, that is the fastest route to retirement, is to go play for the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, it is.
That's really it. You will retire in no time.
Anyway, now Josh Gordon has been hit, and it's funny because I didn't know there was one to begin with, but now it says he's been hit with another paternity lawsuit.
Well, he's standing up for the cause, man. That's what he's got to do. This is how you do it when you're in the NFL and you're sitting around doing nothing.
Oh,
you get high and you bang chicks.
Let's see. Well, yeah, he evidently banged Kristen Leonard of Lake County, and she is suing him for child support for her 2-year-old child. And they've got a hearing coming up on May 16th. And now he's been sued by another woman. He was sued in September, and they did do a paternity test, and you are the father, Josh Gordon, of a Maple Heights girl.
He should have been taking birth control precautions. This is a big piece of advice to give to young players in the league. You should be like me and carry a supply of prophylactics in your wallet. You never know when you're going to find yourself in a barroom, men's room romance. You know. Better to be protected.
All right, so he just after that, he checked into an inpatient rehabilitation center because, you know, he blew it again with the Browns.
They have rehab for unwanted children? No shit.
He, you know,
he's learned something new every day.
Dude, he's only 25 years old.
Oh, my God. Well, he's got at least two. All right, so two is not so bad for 25. But, yeah, it seems kind of odd that he's only 25. He's like you said, he seems like he's been in the league a lot longer because he hasn't played.
Right, exactly. But he's missed – okay, so he had almost a full season before he started getting suspended.
Right.
But since then, believe it, look at that. He has missed 43 out of the past 48 games. So he has been in the league a while, you know?
He's always calling up, yo, man, I was going to come today, but, you know, I just kind of sat there and watched cartoons, you know?
Dog ate my playbook, man.
I'm sorry, man. I got high, and then, you know, I just lost track of the time, and, well, before I know it, you know, the game is over, and I got three kids.
Jesus.
Oh, hell.
Let's see. The last time he was in a regular season game was December 21st, 2014.
Good God. Good God. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I guess we'll see if he gets reinstated. I mean.
Hey, didn't I win the Super Bowl that year? I can't remember.
I mean, think about it, John. Let's put it this way. Let's say the Browns have decided we can't trust him, can't depend on him. We're done with him. So now they release him. He's a free agent, but he's kept himself in shape. He can still play. He looks like he could be a great receiver. You'd sign him, right? You'd say, yeah, give him a shot with us.
No, I'd rather have the other one that they let go, Terrell Pryor. I don't want any problems with it. See, what I don't want anymore, I firmly believe that, you know, let the players do what they want for pain management. If they're going to smoke pot, who gives a shit? However, when you see what we talked about last year about Ezekiel Elliott, even though the cops have cleared him 100 times, Goodell is still looking at him. I don't want anybody that's going to get on Goodell's radar. Because, like the Bengals, they drafted Joe Mixon, right?
Yeah.
So, whether he's rehabilitated himself or not, for one, who gives a shit about that? That seems kind of stupid. You don't rehabilitate yourself for being that kind of stupid. However, he's on Goodell's radar. PR, bad PR, 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 bad. That's the worst thing he can take, and that's why he'll suspend you. It doesn't matter what you do. As long as you don't smear the league, you could probably survive. But if you smear the league, and by doing something like that, you will, he'll take you down. So anything that guy does, anything he does to step out of line, so forget it.
Okay, but if he does, no loss, right? I mean, you bring him in, you give him a one-year minimum salary.
No. Well, in terms of that, yeah. But in terms of what you're planning for your team to be able to do, that's one wide receiver spot that you've just given away to a guy that's going to blow it. I'm not into it.
Okay.
I don't mind some character flaws, but things that are going to get put on Goodell's radar at least as many times as he has, no, I don't want that.
I would say Terrell Pryor was probably on his radar. I mean, he started his career with a suspension for shit he did in college here at Ohio State, in which I still don't understand how Roger Goodell can suspend a guy that a team drafts or signs for something he did before he was ever in the league that wasn't illegal.
Because he's Roger Goodell. He's the head of the organization, and he can organize it any way he wants. The most hated man in America.
He is, man.
Roger Goodell.
He is, right?
He really is. He really is.
Oh, my gosh. There is nothing that man can go to where he doesn't get booed. Nothing.
Probably. He's at the movies getting popcorn, some asshole behind him. Boo!
Let me ask you.
Hey, everybody, he likes butter on his popcorn. Boo!
Let me ask you, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, you got accused of doing some pretty nasty things, and you were found not guilty. You were cleared of all this. There's no charges. Yep. You're not in jail or anything. But yet, Roger Goodell still suspended you.
That's right. He did. He suspended me because I gave the league a black eye. I made the eye of Sauron turn around and look at me and say to me, hey, you are giving all of us a bad name with your little bathroom antics there. And I said, go ahead and prove it. I have a pocket full of prophylactics that say I am innocent.
Well, exactly. That's my point. But you were innocent. Right?
Well, maybe. I'm not going to say. However, Mr. Goodell and the NFL are able to say to me things like, look, buddy, it's either 4 years in the pokey or four games of sitting down. Which one do you want?
They kept you out of prison?
Hey, they're strong. I'm not going to say anything else because I would like my family to retain all of their fingers and toes.
Okay. All right, let's move to
cut them off, I guess.
All right. Let's move to another team in the Steelers division, and that would be the Bengals. You know, we had the whole Pac-Man Jones thing went down. And, you know, he said all that stuff in the back of the cop car. And
I like Pac-Man Jones. He's a very interesting character. It's fun to watch him get into trouble, and it's fun for me to see him on the other side of the line of scrimmage because it's usually a touchdown.
Suck my dick. How about that?
Right. I remember he sat in the back of the cop car back in January because he got arrested.
He sounds like that at the bottom of a pileup, too, you know.
Bitch ass nigga.
Oh, really? Is that what he says?
Well, sometimes after I throw a touchdown on him, he says that to me because he's upset.
Suck my dick. How about that?
How about that?
Right.
Yeah.
How about that? How about that? How about that? Hey, you catch me outside. How about that?
Oh, do you know that girl? Do you know who that girl is, Ben?
No, I just have people on the internet send me all kinds of things, but I try to follow along. I just have a hard time.
Catch me outside. How about that?
All right.
All right. I don't want to give her any publicity at all. Everybody's looking at her like some kind of thing. Oh, she's $1 million. You're going to give her a TV show. No shit, people. Don't complain about what you ask for.
Right. I mean, look, dude, it's like another honey boo-boo child, whatever.
Right. Well, these are the people that put Donald Trump in office, the honey boo-boo. The people that turned Honey Boo Boo into a fucking television show. You don't want to watch how these people live.
You just turned this into politics.
Oh, I did not. This is just a general consensus about human nature in America.
USA! USA!
I can spell that, you know. I can spell it. Who says education in America is bad? That's all you need to know is those three letters, and everything is good.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to talk about the draft here coming up after the break. But while you're here, Ben, I just wondered, did you get some good players? You got some good teammates now?
I think so. They drafted a quarterback, which, you know, whenever somebody is drafted to come in and play your position, you start to wonder about whether or not they are trying to replace you. And then I realized that I'm almost 40 years old, and they probably are. So I guess I will be nice to him.
What are you going
to
do when you retire?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I will go into broadcasting. That might be kind of fun. I got to watch a game last year on CBS when I was on my bye week, and Phil Simms was on there. And, you know, he played quarterback too, you know. And he when he talked about the game on the television, he didn't know anything about anything. It didn't even make sense. I said, hey, I can do that.
Shit, Jay Cutler's going to do that now.
Right, I saw that. Yeah, he's going in the
Jay
TV
Cutler's
booth.
On Fox.
Oh, my gosh. I wonder who he's going to be teamed up with.
I don't know. I have no idea. He's probably going to be on Team Z, but maybe he'll be on Thursday Night Football. That could be fun. Yeah, what would be fun with him is like every play they go, Jay, what do you think of that? He goes, yeah, whatever. Who gives a fuck? Whatever.
Right.
I could have done that.
All right.
Oh, shit.
Well, Ben, thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. I have to go to the dentist.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know. There's nothing fun about that.
No, not really, until they give me the gas, and then I laugh all the way home while I am driving my car. Bye.
All right. Well, stop by anytime.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
This is what happens when you listen to the Bang Radio Hour. Right. Anybody can stop by.
Yeah.
Even if it's nobody.
I think he's been dropped on his head a time or two.
I've seen it happen.
Right. I mean, when he was a baby.
What I always think of when I watch Ben Roethlisberger play quarterback is those nature videos where there's like 12 lions trying to drag down one buffalo.
Right.
And the buffalo is just kind of walking with four of them on his back, looking bored to death.
Yeah. He just kind of...
You know, they have that look on their face like, Jesus, again? Come on.
Swinging him off.
Yeah, that's how I watch Ben play football. He's the Buffalo.
All right, we're going to talk about some things involving the draft, trying to find out what happened to a murder. We've got, oh my gosh, we've got a gladiator.
That's the big thing in podcasts now, Tom, is to try to solve a murder.
Is that, yeah, that's right.
So here we go.
We've got a gladiator, and we've got a radio call on a sporting event from another country that we... You know, we've come to find are very entertaining, so we'll get into that, too, coming up next.
What an unbelievable achievement for your organization. Congratulations to your organization.
to your fans and your community.
Incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack. At Augusta, he's on his final hole. He's about 455 yards away. He's going to hit about a 2-iron, I think. Well, he got all of that. The crowd is standing on its feet here at Augusta. The normally reserved Augusta crowd. Going wild. For this young Cinderella, who's come out of nowhere, he's got about 350 yards left. He's going to hit about a 5-iron, I expect, don't you think? He's got a beautiful backswing. He got all of that one. He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on its feet here. He's a Cinderella boy. Tears in his eyes, I guess, as he lines up this last shot. He's got about 195 yards left, and looks like he's got about an 8-iron. This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former greenskeeper now about to become the Masters champion. It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole!
VOTech. VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
Oh, we're on the clock. Show me what we've got.
Well, Coach, as you know, we've had a perfect record with first-round busts over the last 6 or so years, and we definitely like to keep our record intact. And looking over the draft board, I really don't see anyone available at this point who is a guaranteed failure, so we've decided to go in another direction.
Excellent, excellent. Make the call.
The Cleveland Browns have selected Nahaji Pandashavadeva, a convenience store clerk from New Jersey.
We drafted the Ginn family. I've known this family for over 10 years. Ted Ginn and his family will give us everything they have. I promise you that.
What's up, y'all? This is Lee.
Chachi.
Nick.
Davey.
Matt.
And we're with
Pop Evil.
And you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour right here. Turn it up!
Come on.
We are thrilled to be back here in Philadelphia.
Are you?
Where the first draft was held nearly 80 years ago. So tonight, we celebrate the great game that we all love. And we celebrate as NFL dreams come true. So it sounds like you're ready. Are you ready? The NFL draft for 2017 is officially open. The Cleveland Browns are on the clock.
My God, John, it sounds like a country, an entire country is booing him.
Everybody does. I'm telling you, he's the most hated man in America. But I will give him credit for this. He owns it. He fucking owns that shit. He went after the Philly crowd a few times. I thought that was pretty funny.
Come on, Philadelphia. Come on.
Come on. Come on, Boomy.
Come on.
That was all right. Tell you what, though. All right, so I was watching on Thursday, the first day of the draft. I was watching NFL Network, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, the 2 hours prior to the draft, they literally did a red carpet walk-up with, I can't remember, what's this? I think he was a receiver for the Seahawks. I don't remember what his name is that does their in-studio reporting shit. Doing a fashion show with these goddamn drafty hopefuls coming up with their parents. It was the most ridiculous fucking thing I've ever seen.
Wasn't Nate Burleson, was it?
Yes, it was. It was Nate Burleson.
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Metrosexual of the of NFL Network.
He's on the NFL Network's weekday morning show.
Oh, God. No, that explains a lot of it. When I say a red carpet fashion show, he was there, and I mean, saying things like, "You just look great. What made you go with that pocket square today?" And he was, I mean, this was, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Is this football at all? It was ridiculous, man. You getting ready to be drafted, but damn, boy, you sure look delicious. What you wearing?
It's all Hollywood, man. It's all Hollywood.
Oh, my God. I mean, really. And kudos to the guy that was drafted and said fuck on television with Deion Sanders.
Find me later.
Yeah, so Dallas has a new defense. That's all. They just drafted a whole damn defense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They got themselves Burrito Charlton there. Jimmy Chonga Charlton on the outside. Another fine tackle by Guacamole Charlton down there, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at Enchilada getting to the quarterback. Yeah.
Tom, don't be racist.
Yeah, Taco Charlton from Michigan.
Michigan. That's right. Gordita Charlton.
Actually, man, Michigan had a lot of defensive players drafted early and often.
Yeah.
I think you
the
got
Redskins
one.
Went with Alabama defensive players. Here you go. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. That's always good.
Yeah, I like their second round pick, the linebacker, who says that if we are even down by 1 point and anybody on my team is laughing, I will punch them in the face. He says, I hate everybody but who's on my team.
Wow. That's good.
I like him. This dude, yeah. He's a troublemaker.
Yeah. I heard Jabril Peppers, who was Cleveland's second first round pick.
Right.
Second of three first round picks that they'll ruin.
I do have an impression of him.
Go ahead.
Here's my impression of Jabril Peppers being drafted by the Browns.
What? Oh, my fucking God!
You are a factory of sadness!
Jesus. Yeah, but now he actually failed a test at the combine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. The watered-down test.
Right, yeah, a diluted sample. He said, man, I drink a lot of water. You know, I drink a lot of water. I carry around a friggin' giant mug with a straw of ice water at all times. I drink a shit ton of water. So I don't know. I think that's
wrong.
You
never know when you're going to be caught in the desert.
Right. Exactly. But if you're going to, you know, if you're going to say, all right, this test is no good because it's diluted, don't count it as a failed test. Just make him come in and take another test.
Yeah. I drink a lot of water, too, but I don't know if it would matter.
I mean, seriously, you know, why wouldn't you just say, hey, you need to pee again? This one was diluted. Nah. Why you guys say, oh, you failed a test. Now you're in the drug testing program?
Well, it's because of the media. All right. Because the media, they are so desperate for clicks. And I hate to use this giant amorphous word, the media, anymore, because the media, to me, represents actual real people doing actual real journalism. But now they are so crowded out by the frickin' click hogs that they have to do shit that's ridiculous just to try to maintain relevancy. So, oh, he had a watered down sample. Oh, my goodness. It was a little bit diluted. Oh, he's probably a mass murderer. Maybe we can find out whether or not he's been selling heroin. Oh, my God. And everything turns into the most worst, awful thing that it could possibly be, rather than anybody having a calm head and just going, nah, you know, you probably drank a lot of water. Just come on and take another test. It doesn't make any sense. It's like the same thing like last year. They when they dragged Josh Norman right off the field. Hey, you just sweated out of three quarts worth of freaking sweat. Why don't you take a piss right now? What do they think they're going to get from him? All water, right?
It was a scramble.
It was a scramble, John.
He was scrambling. I just looked above my head. There's a spider up in the corner. Hello, Mr. Spider.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I might have to be scrambling here. If you hear me smashing around, it's because he jumped down.
It's just a spider, John. It's just a spider. Yeah.
I know. I don't mind them, except they're over my head. Anyway. So I guess you're satisfied with your team's draft.
Ask me in 3 years.
I know. We always say the same damn thing. I'm satisfied with my team's draft.
I'm satisfied with the three offensive linemen we drafted, you know, starting 5 years ago. I'm very satisfied with the running back and the quarterback we drafted last year. I have no idea about any of these guys in the NFL, how they're going to do. I really don't.
Right, right. Now, you know, sometimes you can see that certain things are going to work out. But, yeah, I like the quarterback that we drafted back in 2012. Not the one up there trying out in Canada. He's not even playing in Canada. He's trying out.
Right.
So, yeah, I like him. I just hope we sign him with a long-term contract.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. My God, I couldn't believe it because it never happens. Never does Dallas get a good grade from, you know, everybody, all the experts, everybody out there that in the draft. It's always, you know, a C or a C minus. But based on all of them this year, Dallas had the best draft ever. And I'm like, okay, all right, whatever.
The expert on NFL.com gave everybody a fucking A. I'm dead serious. There was only two grades below a B, and one of them was a C plus, and that was the Bears, who fucked up royally in the first round.
It wasn't the Browns?
No. As a matter of fact, they got an A. Seriously, there's 30 teams. This dude gave 26 of them an A.
Well, you got three first-round picks. If you have three picks in the first round, I would hope you get an A. Good God.
Everybody got an A. It's the everybody gets a trophy mentality. This is what Goodell's going to lead us to. So by the time these college kids come to age, like Tom just said, in 3 years when you start to see these guys really start to affect the NFL, that's what it's going to come to. Everybody's going to get a Lombardi trophy. So there you go, Philadelphia. You'll get one.
Oh, no. Everybody gets a participation trophy.
Hey, they saw one. I'll tell you what, Tom. There was a Lombardi trophy on display in Philadelphia during the draft for three straight days, which broke the record of zero straight days set by every other Lombardi trophy ever made. All the footage.
Oh, what? What?
Hear me, mortals, hear me and quake with fear.
What are you bellyaching about now?
It's not me that's bellyaching, Tom. It's all of these damned global destroyers, these people that think everything's going to hell, the nihilists. They're all praying to me right now, swearing up and down the apocalypse is coming because they saw the Lombardi Trophy in Philadelphia, which apparently is some sort of sign.
Oh, I see now. Well,
okay. I am here to tell you not to worry. As long as I am the big deity around here, those Philadelphia Eagles will never win a Super Bowl.
Oh, cool. I like that.
I have spoken.
Okay, well, that's good. The world's not going to hell. We did find out.
I didn't say that, Tom. Don't put words in my mouth. That was the 11th commandment.
Okay, well, do we understand correctly, based on what I heard, Dan Rooney did not go to hell?
No, he did not. He accidentally ended up in my waiting room, so we had to make accommodations for him, so we put him in with a roommate.
Yeah, we found that out.
Yeah, so far it's been rather a bit of a pain in my ass. They're constantly calling the front desk complaining about this or that. I've got to tell you, Tom, I wish I would have never let Franco Harris catch that football. Been nothing but a pain in my ass ever since.
Well, depending on who you ask, he may or may not have caught it, God.
I know who caught what and touched what where, but I won't say. You people fight it out. It beats fighting it out over what my name should be.
Well, it is immaculate. It was definitely immaculate. Let me ask you a question. John and I...
Try this, Tom. Try getting some woman pregnant from way up here. That's immaculate. Catching a football, not so much. He got lucky.
You know, you come in on John and I's show all the time, and you're always welcome here. We love it when you come on the show. I just wondering, John and I, we're safe, right? We're going to be up there.
Let me tell you something, Tom. There's really not much difference between the two places other than the decorating. Our plumbing seems to work a little bit better, but that's about all.
All right. Well, I still just feel better knowing that we were safe no matter what.
Yeah, it depends. You people elected Donald Trump. You're not safe from anything.
You can't say that about me. I know we... Hey, no. No, that's not on us.
Okay. Well, I won't put it on everybody, but if you think I'm going to sit here and sort it all out like all your teachers say I should, I've got better things to do.
All right, God. Take care.
Tim Tebow, my nephew's coming up in the 5th. I will be busy. I have spoken.
Oh, damn, John. I was just trying to make sure that we could do anything we wanted from this point forward, but he was not clear on it, so I guess we still have to kind of behave.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, what I want to do is behave anyway.
Right.
I'm too old to go getting in too much trouble, man. It gets fucking... I got to go to bed.
Yeah, police say the standoff was ended this evening right around 6:30 because it was dinner time and the subject was getting tired. He said it'd been a long day.
All right, so I found this to be interesting because I remember back when this happened, when Joe Thomas was drafted, the offensive lineman from the Browns. We're back to the Browns again, but it's really just about Joe Thomas. Do you remember he did not attend the draft?
Yeah, he went fishing.
Yeah, he was out on a fishing trip, and I thought, hey, man, I like this guy. You know, he's fishing. Yeah,
he's been a great Brown.
Yeah. It was an annual trip with his dad. They do it every year, and he wasn't going to pass it up, you know. And but it was interesting because here during this last draft, they actually finally had a, you know, discussion with him about that. You know, well, because we've seen in the past at drafts, these guys who are expected to be taken, you know, a top 10 pick, like Brady Quinn. Remember Brady Quinn?
Right.
Or in there.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. And then they took him in the back into the green room because it got so awkward when he kept dropping and dropping. And so here's what Joe Thomas said about why he did not attend. It doesn't sound like it mattered whether he was going to be fishing or not. He wasn't going regardless, and this is what he said was the reason.
It's a guy that goes first overall and holds that jersey up. He's happy. His family's there. But then there's the guy that just plummets in the draft, and he's there sweating it out, and he's got five cameras in his face.
Once teammate Brady Quinn.
Exactly. And a couple years before that, Aaron Rodgers. And right. I saw that, and that left an impression on me. You know, for them to abuse a player like that, that's doing that for free, I thought it was really tough. You become the story of the draft, and your failure is the story of the draft, and that becomes the reason people watch the draft, is to watch you sweat. That sounds terrible. For free.
Seems like it's all about money, John.
You would think it's all about money. I saw somebody the other day put something up on their Facebook page that had pictures of the players at the combine getting their, like, you know, their measurements taken and whatnot, next to pictures of slaves getting their measurements taken, and they're like, what's the difference? And I'm like, well, these guys, for one, volunteered to do this, and B, they're going to make millions of dollars if they're very good at it.
Yep.
So it's a big, big, big difference. But, you know, I don't see why. That's not why I tune in to watch somebody plummet. I tune in to watch who my team's going to pick. If it's not that guy, that's not my problem. And I don't really see it as exploiting them by having them on television. They're not the story.
All I ever felt was bad for those guys, for the Brady Quinns and those guys who just kept dropping. And, you know, it's like, oh, this is weird. This is awkward. It's, you know, that sucks.
This year there was a guy that was supposed to be a first round cornerback, and they had him sitting in there, and he didn't go until the next day, and he was happy as hell.
Oh my God, he didn't go till the next day.
Yeah, but they didn't make any kind of big deal out of it that I could see. It was just, he was happy as hell. Frankly, I think the whole show, other than the picks, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
they come up with more stupid shit. And you know why Joe Thomas didn't go to the draft? Because he didn't want to have, former wide receiver of the freaking Seattle Seahawks going, dude, what is that? Is that a camo tuxedo? You is looking fly.
Well, here Joe Thomas talks about how the NFL reacted to him not attending the draft.
So I was one of the five players selected, and they sent you the letter from Gil, and it's, hey, congratulations, you're going to come to the draft on behalf of the NFL. Great job, buddy. And I was like, okay, no, I'm not. So I just like threw the letter away or whatever. And, you know, a couple weeks later, I'm getting all these calls from this number from, I don't even know where it was from. And I pick it up, and it's, you know, Gil. And he's like, you have to come to the draft. Nobody's ever turned it down. And then it started turning into the teams are going to think you're a prima donna, and they're not going to want to draft you anymore because you're shunning the draft. And they tried to turn it into like me seeking attention or me trying to pull something on the NFL or being anti-establishment or whatever they were trying to accuse me of being to try to coerce me into showing up at the draft. And I really thank my agent, Peter Schaefer, for just being real upfront about it and saying, look, these guys are just BSing you. They're just doing what they can to try to get you there because they need the actors for their TV show to show up so that they can sell tickets and get people to watch on TV.
He's anti, God, don't tell Roger Goodell, he'll be on his radar. He's anti-establishment.
Why show up so that the fans get to have anything? It's not like they pay their money for my frickin' services and why I make a lot of money in the first place. You know, that's why you show up, dude. I mean, I get it. If you don't want to, you don't want to. But don't sit here and talk about how, oh, they just need actors for their TV show. Get this, dude. The whole thing that you do for a living is a fucking TV show. You got that? It's a fucking TV show.
That's true, but actors get paid to be on TV shows.
That's right, and so does he. He gets paid a freaking boatload of money.
Not at that time he didn't.
Well, he was a top five pick.
Yes, but
back then there was no slotting.
But are you going to a company and do work for them before they hire you?
It's not a matter of that. I think that's part of the process. If they had like a banquet where they show you, you know, where you show up at the banquet and then they call your name and come up on stage and hand you your fucking offer, here you go. Here's a couple $1 million. That's different. I'd show up.
All right, but then all players should be there.
Well, not really, because why is the first round one full night of television? Because that's the big one, where all the big stars go.
Because they it's because they get the longest amount of time in between picks.
Well, that's because that's where the big names are going to go. You know, that's why. There's the big names are going there. But see, here's the thing.
You hope?
I don't mind if Thomas doesn't want to go, right? If it's not his thing to be in something like that, that's fine. But the contempt that you seem to hold for your audience that pays your fucking great salary that you have to play a game. That's the kind of thing that kind of irks me.
I don't think he holds contempt for the audience, though. I think it's for the NFL. Here, listen. This is where he specifically talks about them. They're exploiting these players because they need cheap actors. Listen.
Basically, they have millions of viewer audience that are watching this show, and they need characters in their show. They need actors.
Right.
And so they need cheap actors. And what's better than cheap actors is free actors. And they get all these players to show up for free, and then they become part of the soap opera of the NFL.
I got to agree with him, man.
The thing is that these people that are watching the show, they are your fans. They are your fans that are going to buy your jersey and the tickets to see you play. And they, the people that are watching the NFL's TV show, they are the entire reason that anybody knows who you are.
I'm not his fan. I'm not a Browns fan.
No, I get that. I get that because you're watching the game. You're watching the show to see who the Cowboys are going to draft, right? I'm watching the show to see who the Redskins are going to draft.
That's silly. I'm watching for more than that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be watching the first. I'd only watch when Dallas was drafting. I wouldn't see all that drama going on with these players and falling down the board and all that.
To be honest with you, I don't see any of that anyway, because once the Redskins draft, usually I'll just turn on something else. And most of the time during the night anyway, I'm turning on something else. Because let's face it, if you took the entire 3-hour program and condensed it down into actual things that happen, it's about 5 minutes. You know?
And that's my point, John. That's all you really care about seeing, and the NFL knows that. So what are we going to do to get you to watch longer, to get you watching from the beginning? Hey, let's get some players in here and have some drama.
Well, not only that, but most of the time what you see is the talking heads talking about the drama rather than the images of them on the thing there. They're the ones that have decided that this guy is dropping, right? It's Mike Mayock and it's freaking it's Mel Kiper.
Exactly.
Right? My point being is, like I said, if it's not you to be at the draft, Joe Thomas, if you're more of a down-to-earth guy who wants to go fishing, that's fine. I really don't have any problem with that at all. I have no problem with that at all. But I really don't see why there should be so much contempt held for the audience or for the NFL to try to gather the audience to increase the excitement about you and your game and your entire career. It only is going to pay you. It's only going to serve you well. When next TV contract comes up and those games, the cost for those games on CBS and Fox, they go sky through the roof, you're going to benefit, right?
Well, he was going to get the same contract whether he was at the draft or not.
No, I get that. And that's what I say. It's not about him. It's the contempt that I kind of have a problem with. You know, they're just needing cheap actors for their TV show.
Yeah.
Well, the TV show is put on for the benefit of the people that are your fans. That's why they put on the TV show.
Well, no, they put on the TV show for ratings to make money. Come on. They don't even need to have a TV show. On the next day or that night, you could just go to NFL.com and see who your team drafted. You don't need a show for that.
No, I get that, but they have built their audience. They have built us to the point where not only can they have 12 hours worth of draft coverage for the next 3 days, but two clowns like us can freaking have a podcast that's almost 300 episodes long talking about nothing but that.
All right, folks, we have found that John is anti-player and pro-establishment.
No, it's not even that. I am anti-stupidity and pro-common sense.
Well, all right, well, let's talk about whether there's any common sense in this. Okay, so Aaron Hernandez, we hadn't done a show since he killed himself in prison. All right.
I think that's partially our fault.
Well, you think. All right. So, you know, there's three people that were murdered. One was a double murder, and then the Odin Lloyd in 2013.
I'm confused. Three people were murdered, but one was a double murder.
Two of the guys were killed at the same time. They were both killed together. And then Odin Lloyd was a separate day, another time.
Right.
Okay, so he appealed everything, and they got through the appeal process on the double murder, and he was acquitted. He got those charges were dropped. So now he's just got the one murder conviction from 2013. And he was in the process of appealing that one when he killed himself. This is crazy because there is an obscure law on the books in Massachusetts that will say Hernandez died an innocent man, because if a defendant dies before all of his appeals have been exhausted, then he's not a criminal in the eyes of the law.
So. Damn. So, let me see. Was Jeffrey Dahmer done with all his appeals when somebody killed him with a broom handle?
I don't know.
I don't know that either, but that just came to mind right there. But, I mean, that's interesting little twist of the law.
This is a law in Massachusetts.
Oh, fucking liberals. No shit.
Of course.
Morons.
So, his death could actually be vacated. His conviction.
His death could be vacated.
His death. His death will have vacated the conviction.
I was going to say. Expensive proposition at the funeral home. We can do standard burials. We can do cremation. And if you would like it, vacate it.
But yeah, so it's like, legal experts are saying the whole case would be erased as if he was never even arrested or tried or convicted. Like it didn't ever happen.
That's right. That's why if you look on the books in Massachusetts, none of those women that were supposedly convicted in Salem and hanged for being witches were actually ever tried and found to be witches. So they were innocent. And that's where it all stems from. I don't know if you knew that. From the Salem witches all the way down to Aaron Hernandez, people that are really nothing more than lesbians have been killed in Massachusetts. I think it's horrible.
Well, a vacated conviction, that would mean the Patriots would have to pay Hernandez's family the remaining money on his contract. Millions of dollars owed to him on his contract.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Hell no. Let me tell you something, buddy. My boy Donald Trump's in the White House. Your name is what? Gonzalez? Guess where you're going, honey? I'll give you 10 million pesos.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are going to fight long and hard against that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, all right. Let's see here. What else did I want to get to? Oh, yeah. Okay. Jim Harbaugh. He was on. I don't even know who he was on with. He was doing some interview with somebody, and I he's trying to be a comedian, I guess.
It's his new stand-up routine.
Is that what?
Yeah, Smiling Jim.
Well, now he talks about how he's going to start his morning routine. He's just starting his morning routine. He's got a whole new routine in the morning. He start his day. This is just his normal day, as you know, in his personal life at home.
Wake up with Jim.
Yeah, we're waking up with Jim Harbaugh. Can you imagine?
Jim Harbaugh's happy talk show.
Right. So this is how he's going to this. Wake up. Now he's starting his day. Now
every day I'm starting. I am starting my morning.
You
that
woke
way.
Me up. Do that again, please.
Figaro.
Really?
I am now starting my morning that way. I started my morning that way this morning. I'm going to start my mornings that way every morning.
Figaro? Does
he's
anybody?
An opera singer.
My God.
His neighbors are thrilled with this new morning routine.
I am the barber of Summer Hill.
I don't know much about opera, so that's as far as I'm going on the jokes right there. Oh, shit. They are the best. They fit anywhere.
Figaro.
Harbaugh does this while wearing khaki shorts and one of those muscle-style t-shirts.
Right, exactly.
Figaro.
Man, he took his team to Europe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what he told their parents.
We're going to Tijuana, boys.
He is doing some pretty cool stuff with his team, and it's helping his recruiting.
I guess it would be. We take you to Europe. We challenge for the national championship. We lose the Big Ten to Penn State. Yeah.
All right, and one more thing. Oh,
mm-hmm.
No,
oh,
yeah.
You got more Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I got more Jim Harbaugh. John, what you and I both, one of our all-time favorite movies is Gladiator.
Absolutely.
Gladiator. Well, Jim,
absolutely.
Jim Harbaugh thinks he's Maximus.
I'm the loyal servant of the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius. I'm the father of a murdered son, the husband of a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
You know, I did that whole thing, you know, I knew it.
Right.
I knew it by heart.
Right.
I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago on this show. I did it much better. Every bit, and that was just a piece of it. I did the entire thing, and it sounded much better than that, I thought.
I didn't think he felt it.
No, it was a joke.
3 weeks from now, I'll be harvesting my crops. Imagine where you will be. Hold the line. Stay with me. If you find yourself alone riding in green fields with the sun in your face, do not be troubled, for you are in Elysium, and you are already dead. Meanwhile, the guys in the huddle are going, so does that mean we're going for it? Is it, what, are we going to punt? What do we do? I don't want him yelling at us. He's got a sword. Harbaugh's going to be freaking doing this. He's going to be on the sidelines with his Marcus Aurelius mask.
Oh, my gosh.
Or his Maximus mask.
That is too funny. Are you not entertained, John?
I am entertained. I'm constantly entertained. I find Jim Harbaugh to be very entertaining. You are an Elysium, boys. You're already dead. Oh, shit. You got this. What he does, he calls time out to ask him, are you entertained? Are you not entertained? I was like, what the fuck are you doing? There's 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. What are we doing?
Those of us who are about to die, we salute you.
Right.
All right. So you found this clip. It's a. Was this radio or TV in Taiwan?
This is TV in Taiwan. I think this is Manny Ramirez playing for the Bluebirds or something like that.
Right. Yeah, Manny's just having fun playing baseball, man.
They'll let him do any steroid he wants over there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he can. I mean, dominate these guys.
I don't know, man. Some of them Koreans can play some baseball.
Yeah. It's like in the Bad News Bears. You play baseball, we play baseball too.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched Brockmire yet?
Every episode, dude. Love it. Fucking great. Absolutely hilarious.
Oh, dude, that show is funnier than shit.
Yeah.
Brockmire. Put it on your list, everybody.
Yeah, and you are so right. All you got to do is watch the first 5 minutes of the first episode, and you will never stop watching the show.
Oh, my God. It's funny when that one guy says to him, listen, man, we're getting ready to get into this, but there are two women here, which means anything you do to me is not gay. So do a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start pulling some drops from that show.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Brockmire is great.
It is. Yeah, I'm telling everybody. Well, Showtime, right? Yeah, well, I watch it on
Showtime. No, it's IFC.
That's right. IFC. I'm sorry. IFC, yeah. It's great, man. Yeah. It is. It is really funny.
I got to actually hook my Roku stick up so that I can get back on IFC because I cut the cable about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. We have not watched, because the first time we watched it, my son was over at the house. And he comes over every Sunday, so now it's a Sunday thing. So this week's episode we will watch today. So I haven't seen the brand new one that just came out the other day.
Who knew the old fastball sign was such a snug butt plug?
Man, dude, he says some shit, doesn't he? Oh my God.
He does. He delivers it perfectly.
Oh, and now this is a guy who keeps baseball from being boring. All right. That's what I'm gonna tell you.
Hell yeah. How'd you like the Grand Slam on the first episode?
Oh, that was great. That guy. Oh, my God. That is my favorite player on the team, too.
Oh, dude. The first guy to come up that helmet was sitting way up on top of his fat head. Oh, shit.
All right. So here's the guys in Taiwan doing Manny Ramirez's home run.
Just like the ex-girlfriend who
Yeah, where does he come up with the ex-girlfriend that'll never return? He's the guy in the booth is probably starting to cry because his ex-girlfriend just left him. Oh, yeah. I thought it was funny, though. As soon as he hit it, everybody in the crowd went, wah! That's what I thought. Wait a minute, we're watching a different sport now.
Jeez.
I thought wah meant Tom Brady pitches out the white. She a long gone, Tom, like an ex-girlfriend who never returned.
Oh, man, that was fun. That went fast.
Yeah.
That show went really fast. All right, we will be back in June. Again, keep them coming every month. We kept our word so far.
Yep, and send us some email. Give us something to fuck around with, something to have fun with. You can find us on Twitter at Bang Radio Hour. Please do. We do have a lot of fun out there. And we can you can find us on Facebook at the Bang Radio Hour. It's a group, so come on in and join up. You'll find lots of fun stuff over there. People are a lot of fun. And let's see. Hit the donation button. Hit the donation button. Hit the donation button.
Don't forget your mothers next Sunday. It is Mother's Day, in case you weren't aware of what's going on in the world. Also,
some of you, I ain't forgetting your mother.
Mini camps will start up here in the end of the month, and hopefully we'll have some better football stuff to get into come June.
Yeah. Well, so. June is the worst month for football. It really is. There's nothing happening.
Yeah, I know.
It's the dead month.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I do a lot of fishing in June.
Yeah, June through like the end of July, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
We'll just make it up.
And we'll do it again next time.
Later.
Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.